tonight I want to talk to you more about how to employ these scriptures. Amen. I'm going to give you some how-tos tonight of things I've learned over time of entering into the Father. You learn certain techniques with faith that make you more effective. Anyway, you learn certain techniques about how to move in the Spirit. Amen. I just gave you all of these scriptures. I'll exhort a couple of them as we go through, but I want to show you how to work with them, not just hand you the scriptures and say, have faith in God. I want to kind of teach you how to have faith. Amen. The how-tos of having faith, because you'll become effective at this. Once you start entering in, you'll gain confidence. Amen. And I'll give you certain things that I have learned over time. I want you to turn to James chapter 1. These are actually all the scriptures I'll use. I don't sit there and go through them line upon line. It doesn't work like that. This is a relationship. Say relationship. It's not formula. It's not law. It's relationship. But you're going to have to learn to move in the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, in him we live, we move, we have our being. Amen. James 1 in verse 23, any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into, say looketh, you're going to have to learn to look into the word of God. This is not reading the word of God. We're not reading the word when we enter in. We're operating with it. We're cooperating with it. It's a living word. The Bible says, my words are spirit and they are life. You have to find the life that's in these particular words and they become very effective. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, do you know what that word doer means in Greek? Do you know what it means? It says to be a poet. Say a poet. Now that is important because the kind of operating, the belief and the faith that we're operating in with these words, you're going to have to learn a bit of poetic operation. God is a poetic God. Many of the men of God that walked with him, they operated in poetry. The Psalms was the poetic expression of God. Solomon, David, I mean, all of that was the poetry of God, the poetic nature. You have to learn to be a little bit poetic, and I'll show you what I mean here in a minute. So many of I've noticed in talking to a lot of you where you're at, a lot of us already learned how to move freely in through the door. We've learned to move freely in the throne of grace, which used to be difficult. We're moving freely in the rest, which used to be difficult. But when it comes to the Father, different story. Getting from that position of rest up into the Father, that is a whole different story. We're moving in the revelations of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And that whole mystery is the mystery of reconciliation. It's very the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus. His heartbeat was not just to save you. His heart was to reconcile you. Say reconcile to the Father. He came to not only save you, but to bring you all the way through the veil. We entered through the veil, whether our forerunners passed, into full reconciliation and union with the Father. And we've taught a lot around this. In fact, in our website, I haven't changed our recent teachings since 2 Octobers ago. Over a year and a half now, a year more, it's going to be 2 years pretty soon, worth of message are sitting just in the recent teaching. So it's not recent anymore. I should put since 2016, all those, if you go onto our website and scroll down the recents, I'm like, look at all this teaching. And the Lord won't let me put them in a series. Cause a lot of times once I get a series done, I'll put it all in a series. And if they want to go to, they have to go to that series. But he said, leave it up there. And so I've left it up there, but it's all since we moved into the Father, all those teachings there. There's certain things you need to know about moving into the Father. The first thing you need to know is God loves you. Amen. Because there's a time the Father's going to come visit you here, but those are very sporadic encounters, very sporadic visitations. But moving into the Father is always constant. He's always there. Amen. He never moves from his position. And he calls you to where he is. Jesus said, where I am, there shall you be also. In fact, he said, I go to prepare a place, say a place, for you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself. Then where I am, there shall you be also. Amen. Now that's not the sweet by and by. That's now. Amen. That's now. Say that's now. That place has been prepared for you of the Father. It's already there. It's your place. There's nobody else's place but your place. He has a very specific place he's prepared for you in the Father. And he wants to introduce you to the Father. Now, I want to share this particular scripture that's also not on your notes. So, go to John 15. Okay, verse 28. John 14, verse 28. Yeah, tonight I really want to give you some techniques of how to get from where you are up to the mountain of God. The Father's love is by far the greatest realm ever. It is full, deep, wide. Everything about you will respond to Him when you move into the Father. Everything about you will be transformed. The Father's love is the power to take an orphan spirit, no matter what you've been through, and completely reconstruct your heart, your soul, and make you brand new. See, when you're born again, your spirit's born again, but your soul wasn't born again. Don't you wish your soul would have been born again when you called upon the Lord? That would have saved me years. If you could have just took my soul and did what you did to my spirit, we'd been great. Amen? But your soul has to be renewed. Amen? Mind, will, emotional faculties, strongholds. Amen? Systems of thoughts empowered by emotions, causing actions, reactions, and behavior patterns that are contrary to the nature of Christ. Strongholds. That stuff has to be transformed. There's a love that can change and transform dysfunction. Amen? This is a generation that will literally know the Father. Not just know Him like, oh yeah, God my Father. I knew God my Father when I first born again. I knew Him when I started ministry, but I didn't really. And I was touched with His love all throughout ministry. It's not like I wasn't touched with His love. I knew His love, but I didn't know how to dwell in His love. I didn't know how to be with Him. Amen. I didn't know how. And so if you're not constantly subjected to the love of the Father, the things that He does for you, the enemy will quickly try to steal, overshadow, and he'll try to cloud over and misplace those things. That's why if you just get an encounter, you can't live on an encounter alone. The enemy will steal that. You have to learn to stay with what you get. Amen. And so we have to learn to dwell there. To do that, you're going to have to learn the way of faith to the Father. Amen? The highest way to the Father is the way of faith. Say faith. Say faith. How do I get from where I am to where He is? Well, He teaches, number one, jurisdictional transfer. He's going to teach us how to move in that realm. The number one thing you have to learn is how to keep. I'm talking to mature tonight. Amen? I'm talking to the mature tonight. We have to learn to keep His words. Say, keep His words. Keep His words. That actually is in your notes. Amen. Amen. In John 14, if a man will keep my words, say, keep my words, him, the Father, will love. Okay, so does the Father not love me if I don't keep His word? Well, that's what He said, though. Right? He said, if a man, John 4, second page, second set of scriptures, he answered, said, if a man love me, I didn't have a space between those two. If a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. And my Father will love him. Oh, if you're not keeping His word, I guess God doesn't love you. Amen. Say amen. He didn't say do His word. He said keep. Say keep. He wasn't talking about this every word. He wasn't talking about the keeping of all the doing of the commandment. He wasn't even talking about what you're doing here. Because Jesus in John 14, 15, 16, 17 was all talking about your relationship and union and reconciliation with the Father. He goes, the way you're going to get to the Father is you're going to have to keep these words that I'm giving you here in this upper room. You're going to learn, and my Holy Spirit's going to come and teach you how to do this. Amen. He's going to teach you how to take these words, cooperate in a realm of faith. He's going to teach you how to move from where you are into the Father, where I am, because I'm going away. And if you love me, you would rejoice because I'm going away. If you love me, you'd be very happy for me that I'm going away because my Father's greater than I am. Now imagine the disciples hearing that. They've been walking with him for 3 years. They're seeing all these miracles, these glorious miracles, and he tells them this, and they're like, what do you mean you're going away? We're just getting started. We want to go with you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm leaving you. Well, we're really happy for you that you're leaving. That you're going to, you're leaving us here. He goes, but I'm not leaving you here. Because I'm going to send my Spirit. My Father's greater than I. If you think relationship with me is great, he goes, wait till I introduce you to my Father. Because that's why I have come. Not just to save you, but to shift you and to bring you into the presence of my Father, which is my joy, which is my glory. And I'm going to show you my joy that I've been with the Father for all eternity. And I'm going to introduce him to you. And I'm going to reveal him to you. Amen? I'm going to show you and reveal it, and I'm going to bring you into the very relationship that I have with him. The oneness, the union. I'm going to give this to you. My glory that I have with the angels don't have this. The angels are around the throne. The angels are not in the throne. You are seated in the throne. You are seated in Christ in the throne. Oh, that's powerful. They don't have that. If Gabriel walked in here, or Michael the archangel walked in here, turn it down a little bit so it's cool in here. I'm telling you, we'd all probably hit the floor. And they'd say, stand up, don't worship me. I mean, because their glory is so magnificent, and every single one of us have a higher position than the angels. Because none of them can enter into the Father. They don't have that. Only you and I, by birthright, have been adopted into royalty that have that position in the Father. Amen? The Lord gave that to us. We have a right to enter in, to dwell. Amen? Father dwell in us. So, keeping his word, how do we do that? Why do we not enter in? I'm going to give you some things tonight of how to get through your barrier. Amen? Your ceiling. Faith is faith. Amen? Faith takes work. It's a spiritual labor. Amen? Faith is a spiritual labor. If you're not willing to labor in the realm of faith, your faith won't work very well. That's like asking somebody to squat 400 pounds that doesn't want to go squat 400 pounds. It's not going to work for them. Amen? If you don't exercise in anything you do in life, you're not going to be good at it unless you exercise. You're not going to be efficient without exercising it. Amen? You get good at something because you do it. Amen? Now, every one of us, the first time we ever went out, it's like me fishing. I could have kept throwing that lure right out in the middle pond and never, ever, maybe catch one. That's going across, hook him in the tail or something. But that's just not where they were. And somebody didn't come along and tell me how to do this. Amen? But the more you do it, the better you get. You have to understand how faith works. You understand it by doing it. Amen? So we got to do it first. First thing you have to understand about moving in the kingdom of God, you're moving the kingdom of God by this right here. Your heart. Amen? You move with your heart and your mouth. And not these eyes, but your heart has eyes. You don't know it. He says, let the eyes of your heart be flooded with light. Amen? The heart doesn't see like these eyes. It sees in the realm of the invisible. But the way your heart sees in the realm of the invisible is these words that come off these pages. They're living words, and God lights them up. And when he does, the entrance of thy word giveth light, and thy word becomes a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So as the entrance of these words enter my heart, it opens a realm that was invisible to the senses, but now it's been made visible to me. Oh, there's a kingdom. There's a door. I am the door. If any man entereth in, he'll be saved. Oh, there's a place called rest. Oh, there's a place called the Father where I am. He goes, the world will not see me. I'm going to go away, but the world will, they'll rejoice. You won't, they will, but I'll come again and you will see me. He said that you'll see me in John 14. The world will not see me, but you'll see me. How was he talking about? He said, I'm going to go away and the world's going to rejoice and the world will not see me, but you will see me. He wasn't talking about these eyes because he's going in the realm of spirit now. I mean, he goes to the resurrection. How many have Jesus living in your heart? Can you see him? With the eye of your faith, you can see him. You know he's there. How do you know that? You've never seen him. You see him with a different eye. Amen? Well, it's the same with that word. So if I'm going to move in the realm of the kingdom, I'm going to have a compass set. The way that I get a compass set is I have to sow a very specific word for a very specific purpose. Do you know that you automatically do what's in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, a man thinketh. Oh, my heart thinks? Yes. Your heart sees and your heart thinks. Amen? That's your spirit man. Now, the way you see is you've got to take words and you have to listen. Faith cometh by what? We have to arm our faith before it releases. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. So we want to take these words. The reason I left all of those teachings, and you need to start listening. Listening. Boy, when I was in training, people go, I wish I had your schedule. I said, listen, if you had my schedule and you didn't know what to do with it, you could get undisciplined. You have to be disciplined whether you have freedom or not. Amen? You have to learn the discipline of the Spirit. But I remember when I go to work, I'd have an earphone. I mean, back in those days, they had those cassette recorders. You put a cassette in the, you know, cassette days. And I'd have tapes of my spiritual father, and I'd work a security job, and I'd run one, make me look, I made it look like it was like part of my uniform. I ran a single mic right up here in my ear. And everybody there thought it was just part of my uniform. And I had this little tape recorder through my belt. All day long, I was listening. All day long. Sometimes 8-10 tapes a day. Or one tape 8 times a day. Until I got it. I just do it all the time. I had the word running. When it comes to the Father's love is a very, very high mountain. You're going to have to arm your spirit. You have to sow that particular compass or that image. Because you have to get your heart full of it. Amen? Because your heart's going to release into what you're full of. So a lot of people are trying to enter into something. They don't have enough compass in them. See, if you sow it, get your heart full, you automatically release into that. You don't know what you're missing till you get it. Amen? Changed my life forever. And continuing to change my life forever. Here's the beautiful thing. No matter what kind of effort you give, right now, in exercising your faith, you'll have it the rest of your life. Once you get a pathway set and you learn how this works, even if you lose it, you'll be able to what? Regain it. Say regain it. You'll be able to ascend into the mountain of the Father's love. Amen? Now, so that's one of the things we want to do is we want to fill. Say fill. Say fill. Say fill. Now, what I want to get into is certain the techniques of how to utilize these words when you're moving into the kingdom of God. And I talked about this yesterday with the intercessors. When you're taking these words and holding them in your heart, the Bible says the communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So as we communicate, acknowledge, we hold these words in our heart. One of the things I do when I'm holding these particular words is I'm focused on that word. Amen. I keep my mind and my heart focused on what I'm saying. Amen. Okay, for instance, let's say that I missed it. I mean, it's, you know, it happens every once in a while. How many of you ever missed it? Raise your hand. All right. Well, then I'm in a good crowd. Praise God. I don't think Anna raised her hand. Did you raise your hand? Okay, praise God. Oh, it was Tim. Tim's hand didn't go up. That's what it is. We have an altar. Praise God. All right, so you're trying to approach God and you feel worthless. And the enemy wants to make you feel like you're worthless. And what's he going to do? Remind you of everything you did. And you were probably guilty. And you're trying to get up to this elevated place in God. And all he's doing is reminding you what you did yesterday. You know, some of the greatest times I've had in the Father was the times that I overcame that. How do I overcome that? How do I overcome when I'm trying to go to the Father and I'm feeling guilt, shame, or condemnation? You're going to have to arm your faith. That's what those first three scriptures are for. Now all the heads went down to the into the scripture. If you don't have notes, raise your hand. So, notice what he says in Ephesians. Now I'm going to show you how to do this, and I'm going to show you how not to do this. All right, let's just read this first scripture. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption, I call into royalty, of the children by Jesus Christ to himself. He adopted us where? He adopted us by Christ. Christ was the adoption agency. But he, the Father, adopted us to where? Himself. Say himself. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I use this. Now here's how not to use this. So you're in prayer. And you've got your little piece of paper here. Okay, Father, according if you've chosen me in the foundation of the world, since the found that I should be holy, I'm holy, I'm without blame. Before you in love, you've predestinated me to unto adoption. I've been adopted. And by Jesus Christ to yourself, thank you. And to the glory of your grace, the praise of the glory of your grace. Wherein you have made me accepted in the beloved. Amen. Woo. You are going to go zero. You're not even going to get out of your own head. You don't move in the kingdom like that. Well, I spoke the word. There needs to be a little bit of heart poetry here. Say heart poetry. All I just did was all head knowledge, no heart poetry. It's like us when we're doing the right brain, left brain thing with our wife, you know. They connect with our heart. They don't connect with the head. We men, we like to connect with the head. The women like to connect with the heart. Amen? The way you're supposed to do this is have it already there. Amen. Because I'm interacting with the living word and I'm holding this in my heart and I'm expressing this from my heart. Amen. I'm interacting with this scripture with my heart, not my head. Amen. Father, I thank you that I'm accepted in the beloved, that I've been adopted, Father. I've been adopted by Jesus Christ himself unto you. Father, I'm adopted unto you. I am your son. I've been adopted into royalty. Wherein I am accepted. Accepted in you. In the beloved, I'm accepted. I'm accepted. He was despised and rejected from me. He took all the rejection that I'm feeling right now. He took it upon the cross. And he's given me his standing of acceptance with you. Father, I'm accepted. What are you doing? Your heart is agreeing with what he said about you. Amen? And that's what shifts you from shame and condemnation and guilt. It begins to shift you. I'm holy. And the enemy's screaming at you. You're not holy. I'm unblameable. Do you know what you did yesterday? I'm unreprovable. Because that's the way the Father receives you. He doesn't receive you the way about how you think about yourself. He receives you about how he thinks about you. And the only way that you can know how he thinks about you is his word, not your feelings. You cannot enter into the Father by feelings. You'll get feelings after you get there, but you can't get there with them. Because the most time your feelings are out of whack. They're out of alignment. Your feelings are in left field, and God's in the right hand, and your feelings in the left hand. I cannot go by what I feel. I'll have to go by what he said. And so my heart I begin to hold, and I agree with these words. I'm holy, I'm unblameable before you in love. I've been adopted in the royal, and I'll keep saying it. Why? As I keep saying it, and I'm seeing what I say, I'm feeling what I'm saying from my heart, it begins to shift the way I feel about myself. Does that make sense? As I begin to shift out of the guilt, shame, and condemnation. Now, I don't have to do this every day because I don't walk around in guilt, shame, and condemnation. But you have to have those because there are going to be days like that. But I'm telling you, I've had some of my greatest experiences in God when feeling the very worst. Thinking God is 1,000 miles away, and all of a sudden faith merged that gap. Faith took that 1,000-mile gap and went like that. And I went in the presence of the Father. All of a sudden everything changed. I got in the Father. I started feeling the way he feels about me. I started feeling him clothed in his love. And he lifted me. He goes, I loved you the whole time. I just couldn't feel it. I was out of alignment. But I came through the veil by faith. You're going to have those certain days. Certain days you won't. Certain days you're not going to have that. Certain days you're going to wake up feeling good. Saying, I feel good. I don't normally, I'm not a morning person. I don't rise and shine with a smile. I'm like, coffee! I'm like, coffee. I'm like this to the prayer closet. I'm coming out like, oh. It's a place of transition, transformation. You don't learn to do that? Well, when we got to do this? Look around. Some of the ministers that have been around for 40, 50 years. They wear their trials. They don't know how to get off. They just wear the heaviness. I've seen ministers transform right before my eyes on TV, and I'm like, ooh, that's trespass all over them. They hit a trespass. They don't know how to get off. They start wearing, and they start aging. 10, 20 years gets put on them. All of a sudden, man, you look at them, I'm like, they're haggard looking. Why? Because they're wearing, and they don't know how to transition all that. They don't know how to move into the place of transformation where God takes it off. Amen? Everybody's going to go through trials. You're on the front lines. You're going to go through something. But this is why this is so valuable. Because God gives this to you because you can't see your future. You can't see why you need this. There are days that the enemy wants you to live miserable. And because you have faith, you don't have to be miserable. And you don't have to make everybody around you miserable. Because you can shift. I made a lot of people miserable a long time. I won't hear no amen in this house. Because I was miserable. Because I didn't know how to get it off. I told you I probably wasn't God's first choice in this thing, but you know, praise God. But I love it. Because I know how to go in there and get what I need. It took some time to eventually learn how to get in that mountain, but now I know how to do this. I know how to interact with these words. I don't use them all. Every day. But here's another thing. Now, this is a very important one I'm going to share with you here. Once I get that off, because you need to, you can't move in the Father with guilt, shame, and condemnation. You're never going to get it. You got to get that off of you. I'll sit there until I get that off of me. And then I go for it. Now, another thing, when you're praying, I'm teaching you some things you're probably not going to learn in other places. Amen. When you're praying, don't sit there. I see it all the time. Can I get a chair? Hand me a chair. Just put it right here. This happens. I want to put it right here. I want this camera to watch me put this right here. Thank you. It has my name on it, but this is not what I do. Here's what people do. They bump their head like that. Okay. All right, Father, here I am. Here we go, Father. And they sit there and wait on God. Waiting on God. Say, waiting on God. Just waiting on God. He's going to show up. I know he's going to show up. Just waiting on God. And then they start lay down before the Lord, and they put some nice music on. And what they eventually do, it happens all the time. They stop talking. They stop accessing. They stop reaching. They stop activating. They just sit. And they nod off. If they're not thinking about today, they're thinking about tomorrow, or they're going to sleep. And they go, ah, yes. Thank you, Father. It's an amazing time with you today. Thank you for blessing me with your presence today. Thank you, Father. Amen. If you stop before you enter, God needs your mouth. He needs your focus. He needs your attention. He needs the eye of your heart. He needs to activate these things, and you have to stay activated. And there's going to be a battle to get through, because there are veils you're contending with. Some of your own veils, some of their second heaven veils, but there's veils you've got to move through. And that word will get you through, because he said it would get you through. If you'll keep my words, I will bring you to a place in the Father where he will love you. He loves you regardless. He loved the world. I said this yesterday. He loves the lost out there. Does he not love them? But they're not encountering his love. But he still loves them. Amen? What he's saying, if you'll keep my words, him, my Father, will encounter. You will encounter the love of the Father. Not just live in it positionally. Yes, I'm loved of the Father. Can't feel it, but I know he loves me. Amen? I did that for 20 years in the ministry. Yes, Father loves me, but I have an orphan spirit and I'm dysfunctional. But God loves me. Well, then get that up into the Father where he can. Because this first number one thing is, I will not leave you as an orphan. I use that all the time. I don't know if I put that in the notes. I did good. He says, I will not leave. I say it all the time. I come in there, Father, I am no longer an orphan. I am not fatherless. I believe I've been adopted into royalty. You did not leave me as an orphan. An orphan, what's an orphan? Fatherless. Doesn't have a father. Doesn't have union with a father. Doesn't have connection with a father. They're alone. What did he say? I will not leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you where you are. I'm going to bring you to where I am. Now, the thing about sitting in the chair and waiting on God, you're not going to get there if you do that. You have to learn to engage. Well, I want to enjoy this. You're going to enjoy it. I just got to get you to the place where you enjoy it. Think about God living up on a mountain, and you're at the bottom of the mountain. He's at the top of the mountain. And he's always at the top of the mountain. He's never not at the top of the mountain. And all the glory and everything you ever want is at the top of the mountain. You got to go to where it is. Amen? So you got to get on the lift system of God. And you got to engage. What I do, I tell people all the time, you have to engage this place. That's why you need a compass. I need to learn to go from where I am to go for it. A lot of times I do that. A lot of times do you feel it? I very rarely feel the Father's love when I'm in the rest. I feel the presence, but I very rarely feel, I'm telling you the truth. I go for it. What do you do when I read it? I just go. I go. I take these words and I begin going. And I start moving. And I move through the where I am scriptures first. I have them right there. How do you do that? I hold them in my heart. And I begin to speak to them. I'm interacting with them. Lord, you've prepared a place for me. Now, this is what you don't do. Here's another don't. What you don't do. Lord, you prepared a place for me. Where you are, there I'm also. Thank you. Thank you for this place you prepared for me. See, you're up here. And up in your head is not where you move from the kingdom. It's your heart. Lord, you prepared a place. It's my place. You've got to get a little poetic about you. Amen? Put some heart into it. Like they put some soul in it. Put some heart in your believing. Amen? Lord, you prepared a place for me. It's my place. Sometime I'll do that. This is my place. Nobody else can occupy this place but me. It's all mine. You receive me today. You wait for me today. You call out for me today to be with you where you are. Come. See, what am I doing with my words and my heart? I'm moving to that place. You see that? I'm going for it. I come to where you are. And now what am I doing? I'm focused from the heart into these words. Are you feeling it? Not yet. But I know I'm going to.
Amen. Well, when do you feel it?
That's a very good question. Because there are times I have to go through sometime one scripture and boom, I'm in. Sometime I'm going around. Now this is number one thing. If you learn this, oof, if you'll stay focused, sometimes you're on the very verge of releasing and you don't know it. There are times I literally was going to walk out. Yesterday morning was one like that. I woke up early before prayer and nothing was happening. How many of you ever gone to prayer and nothing's happening? And it's not fun. You're supposed to have fun. Amen. You're supposed to be encountering. I was literally going to walk out. I'm like, it's just not happening today. And I said, no, I'm just going to stay a little longer. And I went right back to these very scriptures and I did around and I could, in 10 minutes, it opened. And when it opened, I went there yesterday. It was Sunday morning before service. That's when it was. Sunday morning before service. And then that showed up in the service because I encountered him. What you encounter will show up in your life. Amen? And amen? So, what I'm looking for, this is real important. I've had to learn this over time. This will help you tremendously. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stay on certain verses. And if I don't feel anything, if I don't feel an unction or an atmospheric shift, I'm looking for something that tells me there's an open door. That's the only way I know how to describe it to you. I'm in here. I'm going through this. It's kind of like I've got 10 doors. Every scripture's a door. And every door I'm going and I'm knocking at it. But I'm kind of knocking by the way I'm going. I'm rehearsing the scripture. I've got it in the frontlets of my heart. I'm saying, I'm speaking it. And, you know, I'm no longer fatherless. You've prepared a place for me. Not feeling anything on it. After a couple minutes, I'm not feeling anything. I go to the next one. This is what I do. It may not work for you, but it works for me. Amen? As I'm going to the next one, and I'm looking, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling, because if you stay on one thing for 30 minutes, it's going to drive you nuts. That's why you need to kind of just think of 10 doors. The prize is in one of those doors. Amen? And so if the first door, the second door, the third one, the fourth one's not working, the fifth, there's going to be one that's going to open. Well, how do you know? I know because I've done this for over a year now. I know a little bit about this. Amen? I've learned to access at times when I felt nothing. I've learned to access times when I was at my lowest point. I've learned to move in and God elevates you to... People have to go to conferences to get that kind of elevation. To come out like that, I'm like, you'd have to go to a conference for that. And I just went into the Father. People think you're Superman, you go in every day. You're not. I have feelings like everybody else. I deal with everything else like everybody else. I'm a feeler. I feel everything. I hate it. Sometimes I love it when it's in God, and I don't like it when it's not in God. But I'm looking for my access. Why? Because I need Him. Because I want Him. Because I know what it's like to be in Him. And I know that He can take me from where I am to where He is. And He can elevate me. And I can come out whole. I go in one way and I come out another way. And my day is going to be beautiful. Amen. So I stay with it. I stay with it. And then I go in and then I'll hit this one like, I know and believe. This is what you don't do. I know and believe the love that you have towards me. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Amen. You're not getting anywhere like that. My mouth was speaking, but that's not how it works. You got a heart. Say heart. So it's like this. So I go to this door. This door of 1 John 4. Is this my door? I know, Father, and I believe the love that you have towards me. You are love. He that dwelleth in love. Today I dwell in love. Now, where's my heart? Right here. Where's my mouth? Right here. Where's my focus? Right here. I'm focused on what I'm saying. You are love, and he that dwelleth in love dwells in you, Father. Today I dwell in you. Sometime I'll be saying that, and all of a sudden a shift will happen. And like an atmospheric shift, all of a sudden I felt something on it. I felt an unction on it. All of a sudden it wasn't like the other doors where it was all flat. Something happened on that. I felt a, ooh, like fishing. I felt that tug. Man, when you're a fisherman, you feel that. I mean, that's it. I let you know. Go. I shut everything else and I stay right there on that one word, on that one verse. It's my access point. Amen. I go and I stay right there and I just start going all around that. Oh, thank you, Father. I know and believe. I believe, Father. I believe the love that you have for me. I believe. And I'm going in. I believe the love you have for me. You are love. Today, I dwell in love. Oh, I dwell. I'm going in a little further. This is the confidence I have in you, Father. Your love. Today, I dwell in love. Today, perfect love. It's casting out all fear. There's no fear in love, Father. Your perfect love is casting out all my anxiety, all my fear being cast out. You've not given me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And so you start moving in that. And this is boldness in the day of judgment, because as you are in love, now so am I, and you start feeling it now. Now it's not just faith, feelings starting to come. You're starting to penetrate a realm of reality with God. You start moving into an atmosphere of God. Amen? And all of a sudden, you break in and you start feeling the love. Say, can you feel the love? Elton John, can you feel that kind of thing? You're feeling it. And all of a sudden, it's not like plowing anymore. Now you're in the atmosphere zone. Now you're in freedom. Generally, from that point, you start breaking out in song. That's a compass. That's giving you direction. See, I'm giving you directions tonight. Stay on John 1:4. Stay on it. 4, John chapter 4. Little John. Stay. Stay. Amen. All of a sudden, you break out in psalms and hymns and spiritual. You get these little songs you're singing. But it ain't like singing in here. I've been in the love of God so far. I'd come in here and I'm like, the worship that's just used to be everything, it's way down here because you're way up there and everything is so elevated there. It's so full and so amazing, so glorious. It gets up in your soul. It gets in your heart, in your mind, your body. I mean, God washes you and then he starts reconstructing you. Glory to God. He starts just plowing into things that survived everything. And this, you come out whole. You respond differently. You come in there, it's like some guy came up to me. I walked in the service the other morning. I mean, he just unloaded on me. I don't think that guy's ever talked to me ever before. Just, your children's church is not here. Your workers are not here. I don't like the fact that I can't be in here and I've got to take care of my kids for 10 minutes. And I said, where are your kids? He said, they're upstairs by themselves. I said, it appears to me you're not taking care of them. I don't like leaving them up there by themselves. I'm like, well, it's a good thing we actually have children's church workers. And he got miffed at that. I said, we should be thankful because everything he was saying was bouncing right off of me. I wasn't feeling nothing because I was in the love. Hey, man, he's bouncing off of me. I'm like, man, he's had a bad morning. Bless him. Well, come on, he left. I heard he went up to children's church and grabbed his kids and said, "Go, we're going to go to another church." And we had our children's church. People were there by the time he got upstairs. Now, I'll just give you that example because when you're in love, things will bounce off of you. You're different. You act differently when you're clothed in the Father. You respond differently. Your day is filled with peace. Amen. You have a different viewpoint on life. Amen. You have a different way you see things. Believe me, I've been both ways. I know the difference. Amen. Now, just because I enter the love of the Father doesn't make me perfect. But that day I might have been perfect. Amen. Because His love makes you perfect. But there's still maybe other areas, so we have to constantly dwell with Him. But eventually we just learn to do it. All of this, I'm telling you, you get proficient at it. You just learn to do it. You can move in and out of God. You can move all the way up in the mountain within an hour and dwell with Him all in an hour. Could you not pray 1 hour? Say 1 hour. Because what happens when you do that, you want another hour. Because you don't ever want to leave the Father. I mean, the worst thing about being there is like, but the good thing about it, He'll fill you up till you can't take anymore. And then He lets you go. Or you ask, please let me go because I can't take anymore. Most of the time it's like, I'm not afraid to leave because I've had such an infilling I really can't take anymore. Thank you, I'll come back tomorrow, but I'm full. And you ask Anna, there are days I'll come out of that place and you just glow in like a light bulb. You just come in the house and everything just changes. The atmosphere, everything about change. That's what causes you to survive. Amen? That's what causes you to go from glory to glory. That's what causes you to be in union with the Father. And that's when He starts answering prayers. Amen? He does want to change you. But He loves you the way you are. But He wants to transform. Amen? If you learn those little access, learn the Scriptures, work with them, find your access door. Amen? And go through it. And all of a sudden it opens up and it comes very full. And then you sing. Believe it or not, you sing. I sing. People say, we want you to sing. I'm like, never going to hear that ever. But I have songs. Sometimes if I love that tune I'm singing, I'll record it. I have a couple of those recorded because you get really cool songs flowing through you. You get in a groove. And you get these really cool songs. And if I was a singer, I'd let you hear them. But because they're between me and God, I just keep them. And I got them on my phone. But sometimes I like that particular sound that's coming in those words. Because He's going to cause your rhythm. Even if you don't know how to sing, you have no rhythm. Believe me, you'll get in rhythm when you get in the Father. Amen. Everything's in rhythm and harmony when you're with Him. Amen. And you're full. Say you're full. You come out complete. Why else do we need this? Because if you walk incomplete, and here's what you don't understand, I'm going to close with this, about anointed people. Very anointed people have huge appetites. It's the nature of the anointing upon their life. If they don't get their appetite filled, the enemy will try to fill that appetite for them. You cannot take away an appetite of an anointed man or woman. When they reach into the realms of glory, it opens an appetite in them, a spiritual appetite unlike any other thing. And if you go, the worst thing ever is to be subjected to an atmosphere like that and hive yourself open and then lose it. Whole churches that have created revivals and lost it, you might as well just leave the church because nothing good is going to come out of that place. Because the appetite went to all levels and you can't feed them at that level anymore. Because the preacher didn't stay there. Amen? If he wasn't there, he can't feed them and everybody gets super discontent. Because when it opens up an appetite, then you have to learn how. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing if you know what to do with it, a bad thing if you don't. Because when he opens up the appetite, your spirit man can be increased. Listen to what I'm telling you. The appetite of your spirit man is not like the appetite of your natural. It can be completely, he'll stretch forth the curtain of your habitation. Amen? He stretches it forth, the curtain of your habitation. So he stretched forth. And when he fills that and starts filling it and filling it and filling it, like these ministers, they'll hit these anointings in God, and they'll have all kinds of stuff going on. If they don't know how to stay up there and they come out of that, they'll generally start replacing it with the machinery of ministry, money, glory, gold, and gals. It starts filling. Why? Because their appetite has to be filled, and they're no longer connected to the vine that birthed it. It happens all the time. And because they're not connected to the vine that birthed it, the enemy brings another vine in. Looks good, sounds good, and they start eating off the wrong tree. They trade the glory of God. And they trade it out for something far less. It happens all the time. You look at their ministry one day, you look at it another day, I'm like, what happened? They stopped eating. But their appetite still has to be filled. They shift it to begin building something in the natural. Amen? And they stop building in the spirit. That's what we cannot do. Amen? The nature of the lampstand is we have to stand by the Lord of the whole earth. We cannot leave His presence. Amen? So once you start developing, I'm just telling you this, once you start touching the love of the Father, the Lord's told me this more than once. Once you do this, you have to learn the discipline of staying with Him. Because your appetite gets increased hugely. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Did I lose you? Are you with me? He's about to take a whole other group now up in to the Father. I'm feeling a grace now for this church. A lot of us have been a certain place, are about to be ushered up into the habitation of the Father's love. Amen? It's a glorious thing because you're going to walk in as atmospheric bearers of the glory of God. Getting us ready. Say, getting us ready. Father, thank you for your words and your wisdom tonight. Thank you for those that have ears to hear this. I'm not afraid to minister things like this, Father. I'm not looking for 10,000 right now. I'm looking for 10. Just 12. I can learn how to do this. I can change the world, Father. Thank you for these words, this wisdom, this understanding you've given us. Separate us. Sanctify us. Set us apart. By thy word, for your word is truth. Set us apart unto thee by these words that we carry. Lord, you will. This is number one. This one I'll use every day. I pray those Ephesian prayers, but this one, Lord, you will. He says, Father, I will that they all be with me where I am. The universal will of Christ outside of salvation is for us to be with him. Where he is, that we may behold the glory of the Father, that he can reveal and unveil the Father before us. Unveil the Father's love, his glory, his light, his beauty, his amazing compassion, his amazing gentleness, the embrace of the Father alone. For the Father's loved us from the foundation of the world. To be embraced by the Father alone is worth the whole trip. To be held by him. The way he embraces your spirit and your soul and your whole being in a comfort and a security that has no fear and a complete acceptance for who you are and the value that flows through that embrace. He brings a value. It transfers to you. The Father transfers value to you. You come out feeling valuable. Amen? It's like you were made to feel like this. You were created to feel valuable. You come out, man, I'm valuable. I could have 1,000 people hate me, but I love me right now. Praise God. The Lord told me, he said, son, there's coming a day when you get out to the next level. There's going to be a lot of public enemies. The glory will get to a certain level. The enemy will come out publicly, but it won't affect you. It won't affect you because your value is not in their opinion of you. your values in the Father, because you're not alone. The Father's with you, and you're with Him. Amen? And you feel the value, but yeah, the comfort. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. My prayer is we all ascend. You have a chance to do this now while you're in the earth. It takes a lot. It takes focus, time, attention. You have to give up things for this. You have to see this is the greatest thing ever. You have to see it could heal the breaches of generational dysfunction. It can break that breach. It can break that cycle. Amen? It can break the cycle. It can break religious cycles over whole cities. The churches are in cycles right now. They're all cycling the same anointing. If you don't believe me, just go out to all the conferences. You'll start, if you go to enough of them, I promise you, if you're a conference goer, if you go to enough, I did all this, sorry. If you're a conference goer, you'll start hearing the same thing. After a while, you start seeing the same thing. They all say it differently, but basically, it's pretty much the same thing. I'm not judging them at all. I'm just saying that's because that's where the church is being cycled. For everything to elevate, we must elevate. Amen? And that's what we're called to do.